हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे यस्माज्जातं जगत् सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। कृष्णयजुर्वेदीये तैत्रियोपनिषदि द्वितीयोऽध्याये ब्रह्मानन्दवल्ल्याम् अष्टमोऽनुवाकः। वि हेव् कम्प्लीटेड् सीयिङ्ग् द मीनिङ्ग्स् आफ् दि मन्त्रास् बट् वि आर् स्टिल् सीयिङ्ग् Bhagavatpada's commentary on these mantras of the 8th Anuvakaha. Let us read once the 8th Anuvaka mantras. Bhishasmadvatah pavate Bhishodeti suryah Bhishasmadagnischendrascha Mrityur धावति पञ्चम इति सैषानन्दस्य मीमांसा भवति युवा स्यात् साधु युवाध्यायकः आशिष्ठो दृढिष्ठो बलिष्ठः तस्येयं पृथिवी सर्वा वित्तस्य पूर्णा स्यात् स एको मानुष आनन्दः ते ये शतं मानुषा आनन्दाः स एको मनुष्यगन्धर्वाणामानन्दः श्रोत्रियस्य चाकामः तस्य ते ये शतं मनुष्यगन्धर्वाणामानन्दाः स एको देवगन्धर्वाणामानन्दः श्रोत्रियस्य चाकामः तस्य ते ये शतं देवगन्धर्वाणामानन्दाः स एकः पितॄणां चिरलोकलोकानामानन्दः श्रोत्रियस्य चाकामः तस्य ते ये शतं पितॄणां चिरलोकलोकानामानन्दाः स एक आजानजानां देवानामानन्दः श्रोत्रियस्य चाकामः तस्य ते ये शतमाजानजानां देवानामानन्दाः स एकः कर्मदेवानां देवानामानन्दः ये कर्मणा देवानपि यन्ति श्रोत्रियस्य चाकामः तस्य ते ये शतं कर्मदेवानां देवानामानन्दाः स एको देवानामानन्दः श्रोत्रियस्य चाकामः तस्य ते ये शतं देवानामानन्दाः स एक इन्द्रस्यानन्दः श्रोत्रियस्य चाकामः तस्य ते ये शतमिन्द्रस्यानन्दाः स एको बृहस्पतेरानन्दः स एक श्रोत्रियस्य चाकामः तस्य ते ये शतं बृहस्पतेरानन्दाः स एकः प्रजापतेरानन्दः श्रोत्रियस्य चाकामः तस्य ते ये शतं प्रजापतेरानन्दाः Sayeko brahmana anandaha Shrotryasya chakamahatasya Sayaschayam purushe Yaschasavaditye Sayekaha Saya evambit Asmaloka pretya Yetamannamayamatmanamupasankramati Yetam pranamayamatmanamupasankramati Yetam manomayamatmanamupasankramati Yetam vijnanamayamatmanamupasankramati Yetam anandamayamatmanamupasankramati Tadapyesha shloko bhavati. Okay. So here, we understand after going through this portion, presenting the analysis of happiness, calculus of anandaha, anandamimamsa, we understand this jnani, the wise person who discovers the happiness enjoyed by a perfect ideal human being in this world and the happiness experienced by Hiranyagarbheshwara in Brahmaloka, essentially one and the same. From the standpoint, the source of manifestation, there is non-difference. Even though the difference in the experience of this mortal human being in this world and the happiness experienced by Brahma in the heaven, the Brahmaloka, the difference is because of the difference in the upadhi. Hiranyagarbha upadhi is different. Manushya upadhi is different. And this manushya, the punyam, the person has also, is different. And the punyam accumulated by the exalted jiva, Hiranyagarbha, is also different. We say Ishvara. Ishvara's position. Because of the difference in the punyam, because of the difference in the efforts that we have made, there's difference in the upadhi. Because of the difference in the upadhi, there is difference in the degree of happiness experienced by Brahma and experienced by this jiva, an ideal human being. But still, they're all mithya. The efforts made by Hiranyagarbha and the actions of efforts of the individual jiva are mithya. The results are mithya. And as a result of that, the experience, ananda experience also is mithya. Mithya means what? Has no independent existence, is time bound. Even Hiranyagarbha's that happiness also is time, subject to time. The jiva's, of course, happiness is subject to time, finite. That's why it is said to be only manifest fraction of the manifestation of fullness of happiness alone. It's experienced in different degrees by an individual jiva and Ishvara, Hiranyagarbheshwara. But still, the swarupam, the infinite happiness, limitless happiness, the fullness of happiness is the very nature of Brahma, the very nature of the Atma. The jnani who has discovered that essential oneness of the source of happiness as one's own swarupam is much greater than even Hiranyagarbha, Even Hiranyagarbha is only experiencing the manifestation of fullness of happiness, but the highest degree. Whereas this jiva, the jnani individual, the jnani, has discovered the essential oneness, has claimed, has taken ownership of fullness of happiness as one's own nature, which is never subject to get lost. Being one's own nature, which is never subject to get lost. It is eternal, permanent, timeless happiness, everlasting happiness, because it is one's own essential nature. And such a possibility on the part of a jnani is because of his akamahatatvam, because of his total dispassion towards everything else, and because of his avrijinatvam, because of his sinlessness. Akamahatatvam, avrijinatvam, and because of course, this jnanam. Akamahatattvam, avrijinatvam. We understood. This is how a jnani, what happiness which is enjoyed by jnani is not an object of object, for it is your own surupam. That's why jnani is the one who just revels in the vision of fullness of happiness. Upbringing his own soul nature, thereby having the luxury of reveling in it. This we understood already. This is the benefit. This is the benefit of analyzing the ananda. So through the analysis of ananda, ultimately one understands the benefit of the jnanam also. We have seen this. Then, after understanding this particular portion, Bhagavad-pada moves on to the next part of his commentary, because there he begins to think about those questions. Initially, the three questions were asked. Two questions were explicitly asked and one question was implied. The two questions asked were, what happens to the wise, ignorant person after the death? Whether he becomes one with Brahman or not? Another question was, what happens to a wise person whether he reaches Brahman, becomes one with Brahman or not? The implied question was whether such Brahman exists or not. We also understood, because Brahman is, what is implied by the term Brahman happens to be the most abstract, subtlest reality, a formless reality, attributeless reality, therefore which is not available for any pramanam to arrive at it. Because of this reason, the very question comes whether Brahman exists or not. Because there's no way of proving the existence of Brahman. Really speaking, there's no need to prove the existence of Brahman, because Brahman is one's own self. But the problem is, we do not know that Brahman is one's own self. The whole effort of the Upanishad study is to understand, to arrive at the Brahman as one's own self. So here, already different reasons were beautifully presented to establish the existence of Brahman. We understood that in the previous class. So now, other two questions are taken for discussion. Again, simply by understanding that the person, the jnani who discovers Brahman alone as though attains Brahma. The Ajnani who does not know Brahman, as though does not attain Brahma. Why? Because Jnani cannot attain Brahma. Ajnani also cannot attain Brahma. Ajnani or Jnani. Attainment of Brahman is possible. Only Brahman is something other than oneself, away from oneself. This absolute reality happens to be the truth of everything, truth of everyone, Jnani and Ajnani. There's no way of reaching, arriving at it physically. There's no way of attaining it also. The attainment is only in terms of knowledge. Attainment of Brahman is only through knowledge. Therefore, it's a figurative expression. Attainment is a figurative expression of discovering Brahman being one's own essential nature. Therefore, it's understood, this Brahma Jnani, the knower of Brahman alone, attains Brahman. How? In terms of knowledge. He claims, he takes ownership of the reality as one's own self, as the very meaning of the word aham. So he's able to claim, he's able to declare, aham Brahma asmi. So from this, by understanding the Jnani's attainment of Brahman in terms of Jnanam, the Ajnani's non-attainment of Brahman also becomes understood. So there's no need for us to find out the answer whether Ajnani attains Brahman or not. There's no need for us to make an effort. Because understood, Ajnani does not attain Brahman, because Ajnanam prevents him from seeing the non-separateness, seeing the oneness, seeing the distancelessness between one's own self and Brahman. It prevents one from seeing one's own self being identical with Brahman. Ajnani does not attain Brahman figuratively because he does not know Brahman being one's own self. Jnani attains Brahman. But that's why it is said, Bhagavad Pada says, actually, by finding an answer for the first one question, that Jnani attains Brahman or not, itself, the second other question also becomes answered. So there's no need to make an effort to understand what happens to Jnani after death. Ajnani. What happens to Ajnani? Ajnani will continue to be in samsara. Ajnani continues to be in samsara means that he, even though Brahman is his own swarupam, still he does not know Brahman being on his own swarupam. Therefore, he is as though away from Brahman, distanced and separated from Brahman. Okay. With understanding, let us enter into today's class. Dvau anyau anuprashnau. Two other questions. Vidvat avidushoho. Brahma prapti aprapti vishayo. Two questions pertaining to the wise person and ignorant person regarding the attainment of Brahman. Not attainment of Brahman. Tatra vidvan samashnute. Na samashnute iti anuprashna antyaha. Vidvan samashnute na samashnute iti anuprashna antyaha. Where the wise person attains Brahman or not is the final question. Last question. Antyaha prashnaha. Tad apakaranaya uchyate. For resolving that question, the answer is given. Madhyamaha anuprashnaha. Antya apakaranadeva apakritaha. So, Antya Apakaranadeva. By resolving, by removing, Apakaranam means actually resolving this question. Through the resolution, by the resolution of the final question, whether the Jnani attains Brahman or not itself, Madhyamaha Anuprashnaha, the middle question, whether Ajnani attains Brahman or not, becomes resolved. Therefore what? Tad apakaranaya na yatyate. There's no effort made to resolve the question pertaining to the ignorant person. Okay. With this, the last class, what you've seen in the last class is made very clear. Now, there is a portion in the Ashtamaha Anuvakaha, the end part of the end portion of the 8th Anuvakaha is said to be Upasankramana Shrutihi. Of course, every statement in the Upanishad, every statement in the Veda is said to be Shruti. Shruti Vakyam. And we saw a portion in the very first in the second anuvaka, etc. The very first anuvaka, where we saw the Shruti statement presenting, discussing the entry of Brahman into the creation. And that portion, the Shruti is known as Anupravesha Shrutihi. In the same way here, we find these mantras, the end part of the Ashtamanuvaka, 8th Anuvaka, where the Jivatma attaining Paramatma is discussed. The Jivatma's attainment of Paramatma is not physical attainment. We all know very well. It is a cognitive shift. It's a cognitive process. This individual jiva, ajnani jiva, when he discovers the essential oneness of the anandaha, the very nature of reality, a nature of one's own self, and he can claim, he can take ownership, he takes ownership of Brahman as one's own surupam, as one's own self. He claims anandaha, fullness of happiness as one's own self. Because anandaha and consciousness, happiness, consciousness, existence are identical or one and the same abstract formless reality. Abstract formless subtlest reality is of the nature of fullness, limitlessness, happiness, is of the nature of existence, is of the nature of consciousness. That is why these three words are the words which reveal the reality only in terms of the nature of the reality. That's why the definition is given as Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. So the Jnani who arrives at it, who understands the essential oneness, naturally he disidentifies cognitively. He gives up the identification with the physical body. He has the identification with all the subtle aspects presented as the koshas. And which means the giving up the identity over these material aspects which constitute the individual and resolving one's identity in Brahmatma, as Brahmatma, is actually upasankramanam. Jivatma attaining Paramatma. Jivatma reaching Paramatma. It is not physical, we all know very well. So this giving up the identification with the body, mind, sense complex as anatma and resolving one's identity, resolving oneself in Brahman, identifying oneself with Brahman, seeing oneself as Brahman is the cognitive is because of the vision, because of the knowledge of what one's essential nature is. This is what is said to be this sankramanam, meant by the word sankramanam. So sankramanam literally means, if we take the word sankramanam, it is, let me make it very clear, is a noun. Sankramanam is a noun. Sankramanam, sankramanam, both mean the same. There's a root kram dhatuhu. Kram is the dhatuhu, ubhayapadi dhatuhu. So you get the verb kramate or kramati. Kramate, kramati, both verbs mean the same. The different meanings are there for the verbs derived from the root kram. And one of the very important meaning is what? Goes towards, reaches, attains, walks. There's so many meanings are there. Kramati, kramate. And you add the prefix sam, same meaning comes. Sankramati, sankramate means crosses, moves, progresses, proceeds. The different meanings are there. One meaning is what? Goes to, reaches, crosses. Sankramate. And then upasankramate. Upasankramate, upasankramati. Two verbs. But here upasankramati is the verb used by in the Upanishad. Upasankramate, upasankramati. Atmanipadam parasmipadam. Now what the noun here, the gerund is upasankramanam. So upasankramanam is taken in the sense of transcending, going beyond. Going beyond. The literal meaning is what? Literal meaning is going towards, reaching, approaching. Therefore here, it is possible for anyone to take the literal meaning of the verb also. What is actually the meaning implied in this context? What exactly is the literal meaning of this word sankramanam found in the dictionaries? If we take the literal meaning, the regular meaning, found the conventional meaning found in the dictionaries, then it is not possible to arrive at exactly the vision of the Shastram. What exactly is the meaning conveyed by the mantra cannot be arrived at. But here there is a contextual specific meaning of this word sankramanam when it is used here in the Upanishad. So that meaning alone should be understood in order to arrive at exactly what is meant by the Shruti. It's very important for us to arrive at the right meaning of the Shruti statement, thereby to arrive at the right conclusion. That is where the benefit lies. The benefit of knowledge lies. Therefore, it is taken for analysis, taken for enquiry. So here, Acharya presents upasankramana shrutihi. So, after that Mahavakyam, sayaschayam purushe yaschasavaditye sa ekaha. This is a Mahavakyam. Mahavakyam reveals what? That Ananda obtaining in Hiranyagarbha, that Ananda obtaining in the Manushya, human being, are essentially one. Why? The source of it is one and the same, which is one whole, infinite, limitless happiness. Purnaha Anandaha, which is free from fractions, which is indivisible, undivided, partless, and which is non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting nature of the reality, which is reality itself. And the person, how does he arrive at it? He, the jnani, who understands the source of happiness, is akama, the person of akamaha tattvam, the person of avrijinatvam, the person of sinlessness, the person of total dispassion. And shrotriyatvam. Shrotriyatvam is what? Because of being given to the study of the Shastram. And with the help through the Upanishad Pramanam, and he has arrived at it. Shrotriyatvam, the profound knowledge of the subject matter of the Shastram, enabled him to arrive at this vision because of his avrijinatvam, because of his clean life he lived, prescribed by the Shastram, following the way of life enjoined by the Shastram. And because that also he understood, because of such life, he could have Viveka Vairagyam, therefore he had Akamaha Tattvam also. These are the three important qualifications. Akamaha Tattvam, Avrijinatvam, Shrotriyatvam. A person merely has Vairagyam, total dispassion towards everything. It's not possible, but still if a person has. He is a person of Dharma, no sin, still without jnanam, it is not possible for one to understand. To have this jnanam, shrotriyatvam, to have a clear, doubt-free, ascertain vision of the Atma being Brahman, one must have gone through this discipline of contemplation. So I said, the jnani, the wise person, is the one who has akamaha tattvam, avrijinatvam and shrotriyatvam. The person who has the total dispassion and sinlessness, because of the qualifications the person had, a result of living life enjoined by the Shastram. Then with that qualifications, the person aspires for jnanam and is blessed with the vision also. That is shrotriyatvam. The person discovers this fullness of happiness as one's own surupam, as surupam of the Brahman. Such a person. So that Mahavakyam, sayaschayam purushe, sayaschayam purushe, yaschasavaditye sayekaha. This is the Mahavakyam. The jnani is the one who understands the meaning of this Mahavakyam. Mahavakya artham avagachyati. He understands the source of happiness of a jnani, the source of happiness of Hiranyagarbha, the source of happiness of a mortal human being in this world is one and the same. I explained earlier, the differences in the upadhis, differences in the punyam, differences in the vairagyam, etc. But here, Jnani is the person of total dispassion and the person of sinlessness and also Kshatriyatvam. I explained this, mere dispassion will not enable a person to understand this oneness. It is not mere dispassion, it is not mere avrijinatvam also. It is the avrijinatvam, akamahatvam supported jnanam. It is the mere jnanam. It is the kshatriyatvam. And the pause, kshatriyatvam is possible only if a person has avrijinatvam and akamahatvam. Therefore, this jnani was discovered the once discovered the truth which is the source of this happiness. Happiness is in fact the very Atma, Brahman. How existence, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, when we say, the existence is the nature of reality, consciousness is the nature of reality, so also happiness is the nature of reality. The reality itself, they're not two. So the person has claimed this Brahmatma as one's own Surupam, discovers one's own self being the very source of happiness, revels in the vision of this non-arriving, non-departing, ever-lasting fullness of happiness. So that is why the following that Mahavakyam, the jnani is when saye sacha evam vit saya evam vit. Evam vit. Evam vit means what? The person who is the knower of the absolute reality in this manner. Which means from this knower of evam is a highly loaded expression. In this manner, the person knows, is an over of Brahman in this manner, means for him all that is there is only Brahma. There is a second thing other than Brahma. Because the reality is arrived at in terms of its nature of consciousness, existence and the fullness of happiness. Therefore, there is only one infinite reality which is of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness, must be one. There cannot be a second reality which is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude. Nothing can be added or reduced from, added to, or reduced from that which is of the nature of infinitude. Addition is not possible, reduction is not possible. That is what is the nature of the infinitude, limitlessness. Therefore, here, the jnani, who is of the vision of the Brahman, evam vithu, the knower of the absolute reality in this manner, evam vithu, that person transcends. The benefit of the jnanam is discussed in the form of upasankramana mantraha. The benefit of jnanam is revealed in those mantras and which are known as upasankramana mantraha, or the soul portion can be said to be upasankramana shrutihi, the portion consisting of mantras revealing the benefit of jnanam is said to be upasankramana shrutihi. But upasankramanam, as I mentioned earlier, has two different meanings. The literal, direct meaning, conventional meaning, implies the movement, going, reaching, approaching. So here, if Brahman is of the nature of actionlessness, Brahman is of the nature of all pervasiveness, and that Brahman is only one, secondless. Therefore, this jiva, the jnani, when he discovers Brahman as one's own surupam, jnani sees oneself being non-separate from that Brahman, only reality Brahman. Therefore, reaching and the part is Brahman, the Atjivan is not possible because Jivatma is Paramatma only. Reaching is not possible. Attaining is not possible. Movement is not possible. Movement, reaching, attaining involves distance and a division and also action and a change, which is not possible. Therefore, there's no real attaining, there's no real reaching. It's only, reaching is nothing but discovering. Discovering one's own self being Brahman. But still, the literal meaning can be taken and there may be some doubts. Therefore, this mantras which form the portion, we said Upasankramana Shruti, should be taken for analysis. It should be clearly inquired into. Therefore, Bhagavad-pada says, now, Upasankramana Shruti Vicharaha. Upasankramana Shruti Vicharaha. The Upasankramana Shruti, the mantras which talk about the Jivatma attaining Paramatma are taken for analysis. They're taken for inquiry. Again, the question comes whether inquiry into that Upasankramana Shruti is required or not. And Bhagavad-pada is going to finally state, yes, inquiry into the Upasankramana Shruti is very important. How he establishes that, how he states that inquiry into his Upasankramana Shruti is important. Everything we are going to see in this through his commentary. Okay, this much is the introduction for today's class. I was talking a lot earlier, but I don't know how much you missed, all of you missed. Doesn't matter. We'll come back to this now. Saha yaha kaschid evam yathoktam brahma utsrajya. Yathoktam brahma utsrajya utkarsha apakarsham. Saha yaha kaschid, that person, that someone, that person, of course we can say evam vit, the knower of Brahman in this manner, evam yathoktam brahma. Yathoktam brahma, the Brahman which has already been explained, expounded, the reality, the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman has been already defined, already discussed. With the direct definition of Brahman was given, indirect tatastha lakshanam of Brahman also was already given. When Upanishad presented Brahman as the jagat karanam, then that is that presenting the Brahman as jagat karanam, thereby revealing the nature of Brahman being existence of the universe, is what tatastha lakshanam of Brahman. Indirect definition of Brahman. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. These words reveal the reality in them terms of this nature. Therefore, the direct definition of Brahman. So, swarupa lakshanam and tatastha lakshanam, direct definition, indirect definition, both definitions were already given of Brahman and that Brahman. So, yathoktam brahma means the Brahman which has already been expounded with the two definitions, that Brahma. What is advaitam satyam jnanam anantam? One secondless, non-dual. I'm adding all these words, non-dual, existence, consciousness, limitlessness. Brahman, which is of this nature. The person, asmi, brahma ahamasmi iti, evam vite. The person who understands, who knows, evam veti iti evam vit. Bhagavad Pada explains the meaning of the word evam vit. Saya evam vit. In this mantra, in order to take us to the enquiry into the Upasankramana Shrutihi, Bhagavad Pada first explains the word expression evam vit. So, knower in this manner, in the knower of Brahma. And how does he know? What does he know? Aham asmi iti evam veti. Aham asmi iti evam veti. This person knows Brahman not as an object, as one's own self, claiming I, the self, am that Brahman. Which Brahman? Advaitam satyam jnanam anantam brahma aham asmi. Aham, I'm supplying here. Aham is not there. Advaitam satyam jnanam anantam brahma asmi iti evam veti. The person claims that non-dual, existence, consciousness, reality, which is of the limitlessness, I am. Aham brahmasmi iti veti. That person is evam vite. And how does he know? Apakarsha utkarsham utsrujya. See? Utkarsha apakarsham utsrujya. Utkarsha apakarsham utsrujya. Means what? Having given up, utsrujya means having given up. Means what? Having negated this utkarsham, the exalted happiness experienced by Hiranyagarbha as mithya. And that's apakarsham. Also having negated this happiness experienced by the ideal human being in this world as mithya. Two different levels of happiness experienced by Hiranyagarbha and the jiva in this world, ideal human being in this world. So, utkarsha ananda, apakarsha ananda. The manifestations of ananda, the experiential ananda, he negates as mithya, which means he negates the negation of the experiential anandaha of jivatma and this Hiranyagarbha is possible only when he negates their upadis as mithya. He understands that my upadis are also mithya. Hiranyagarbha upadihi, only with which that highest level of happiness is experienceable, that's also mithya. And his ideal human being's upadhi is also mithya. Upadhis are mithya. And even to get that upadhi, whatever punyam they have earned, that is also a difference. Abundance of punyam Hiranyagarbha must have earned. That is also mithya. The individual human being's punyam also is mithya. When compared to ordinary human beings, this human being, ideal person, must have earned abundance of punyam. Even then, that is mithya. So, at the level of punyam they have, that is mithya. And the upadhi which they enjoy as a result of punyam also is mithya. Any sukham which is experienceable as a result of having that upadhi also is mithya. What is satyam then? That which is the source of the anandaha. That which is the existence of the upadhis. That which is the very truth of everything is Brahma, Brahmatma. And this person is the one, the Jnani is the one who knows the source of that happiness. That's why it is said, Utsrujya Utkarsha Apakarsham. Having negated, having given up the exaltedness or Upadis and the Ananda of the Brahma and the inferior level of happiness and Upadis of the individual Jiva as Mithya, this person, he sees what, one who sees the source of their Ananda being one and the same, Brahman, and that Brahman for him is one's own self, the very meaning of the word Aham, which is said, that person, the knower of Paramatma, Brahma, is here evam vit, saha, yah kaschit, evam, in this manner, yathoktam Brahma, Advaitam, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Yathoktam, Brahma, Asmi, Iti, Evam, Veti. So, Utkarsha, Apakarsham, Utsrujya, Veti. That person, he does not physically delete Upadis, he cannot delete Upadis, but cognitively he negates them as Mithya, and he arrives at the Satyam, Brahma, as one's own self. Such a person is Evam, Viti. Ahamasmiti evam veti evam vit. So evam shabdasya prakrita paramarshartatvat. See, if paramarshaha means recollection of what has been known, understood, retained. Okay. Evam shabdasya. This word evam, in this manner, means what? This word evam, meaning in this manner, is for the reminding, recollecting, is for the purpose of reminding, recollecting of what has been already heard, retained and understood as the nature of Brahma. So here, the topic, the current recent topic is what? That is Prakritam. The recent topic is the essential oneness of the Ananda experienced by Hiranyagarbha, experienced by the Jiva, mortal human being. Therefore, it is said, here, evam with the word evam, actually is for the purpose of reminding and recollecting the meaning of the essential oneness of the individual Ananda and Hiranyagarbhanandaha. That's the meaning of the word Prakritam. What the next word? Saha kim. So saha kim means what? Tasya kim bhavati. Tasya kim bhavati. So what is that person? Who is that jnani? Saha kim and saha kaha. Who is that jnani? So what if he has jnanam? What happens for him? So evam with the person understands the essential oneness. So what? By understanding the essential oneness of the Anandaha experienced by Hiranyagarbha, experienced by the individual, what's the benefit? What happens to him? All this is implied by this one expression, saha kim. So what? So what if he is a jnani? What happens to him? This is the, exactly is meant by this expression, saha kim. Otherwise, if you look conventionally, it is, doesn't mean anything. Asmat loka pretya. The benefit of Brahma jnanam arrived at through the Mahavakyam. Sayaschayam Purushe, Yaschasavadityye. Already the definitions of Brahman were given. The person has the understanding of definitions of Brahman thereby, and also with Akamahatattvam, Avrijinattvam, and Sotriyattvam, this person, and after the analysis of the Anandaha, calculus of Anandaha, the person understands, oh, this Jnani, this is essentially one and the only reality, non-dual reality, which is of the nature of consciousness and existence, Brahma. And he says that Brahma Ahamasmi, this person knows. What is the benefit then? He said, Asmat lokat pretya. From this world, this is the literal meaning. We'll go to the meaning of the word pretya later on. Very carefully you have to go here. We can't miss you any word. Asmat lokat, the fifth case form of I am lokaha. So what does the word lokaha mean? So pretya literally means, literally the word pretya is used in the sense of after death, after leaving from this physical body. The literal meaning, pretya means. But here, having gone beyond, the literal meaning. Going beyond means what? Before understanding going beyond means what? Let us see the meaning of the word asmat lokat. So Bhagavatpada defines beautifully what is I am lokaha. Drishta, adrishta, ishta, vishaya, samudayaha, I am lokaha. Because why I am? Lokaha means world. I am because there's no distance between the knower of the world and the known world. The knower of the world and the known world is not far away from the knower. The known world is distancelessly very close near the, distancelessly there. That's why I am. I am is a, which means this world. He doesn't say that world. Not tasaha lokaha, but eshaha lokaha, I am lokaha. Why? This objective universe, the objective universe. What is this now? Samudayaha is a collection. It is a constituted of, it is only, it is a constitution, constituted of all known, unknown, seen, unseen, and desired objects. For everyone, the objective world is nothing but that which is consists of, which is constituted of desired objects and seen and unseen. The seen are all objects of desires and also the experience of the known, the pains and pleasures, the experienceable now known to one. And adrishta means what? Still the unknown punya papam one has in one's own account, which is going to fructify later on. This is also adrishtam. So this, the world can be reduced to the world that which is constituted of desired objects, which is constituted of the seen, already known results of punya papam, and which is the results of unknown punya papam, which you don't know what all we have in our account. So drishta, adrishta, known, unknown, desired objects constitute this world. Tasmat lokat pretya. So having gone beyond this world, means pratyavritya. So pratyam means what? Pratyavritya. Pratyavritya. Pratyavritya means what? Having turned away, having gone beyond. So going away, having gone beyond, turned away from them, from this world means what? Nirapekshaha bhutva. Having become the person of non-requirement. Nirapeksha, apeksha nirgata yasmat. Saha nirapekshaha. Nirgataha, apeksha, requirement has gone away from whom? He is nirgata apeksha yasmat. Sa nirapekshaha. Nirgata apekshaha. So nirapekshaha, the person of non-requirement, the person who does not require any of these things which constitute the world for his happiness and security, which means the person who is absolutely independent of the seen, the unseen, and the desired. He is independent of the ishtam. He is independent of the drishtam. He is independent of the adrishtam. Why? Doesn't matter what has come already. Doesn't matter what is going to come later on as a result of punya papam. Unknown. Doesn't matter whatever is there as desired objects. Why? He is no more dependent on any of this objective world for his happiness and security, because for him, anything is required only for one's own happiness. But now he has discovered the everlasting, permanent, non-arriving, non-departing happiness, fullness as one's own surupam. The way he is already having the luxury of reveling in the vision of fullness of happiness. Therefore, this person has become nirapekshaha. And not a person of non-requirement is the person who is absolutely independent of the world of objects for his happiness and security. So tasmat lokat pretya, having turned away, turned attention away from all of them, not being dependent on any of them for his happiness and security, nirapekshaha bhutva, having become a person of independence, then etam yatha vyakhyatam annamayam atmanam upasankramati. Etam annamayam atmanam upasankramati yatha vyakhyatam. Now annamayah atma has been already explained very well. Yatha vyakhyatam annamayam atmanam upasankramati. The person goes beyond this annamaya atma, means physical body, which has been explained. Yatha vyakhyatam means what? Already when we did panchakosha prakriya, panchakosha analysis, that itself it was explained how the person, this explained how through the analysis of five koshas, and how the person negated each kosha as mithya, he already understood at each level the individual kosha being non-separate from its corresponding samashti, corresponding total. And he resolved all of them absolutely as something non-separate from oneself. That's why yatha vyakhyatam means which has been already explained in the portion of analysis of five koshas. Annamayam atmanam upasankramati. One must become totally dispassionate towards everything else. How is it possible when a person discovers one's own surupam? Annamayam Atmanam Upasankaram. He goes beyond the physical body. So goes beyond physical body means what? Going beyond the physical body means Vishaya Jatam Annamaya Annamayatma Pindatmanaha Vyatiriktam Napashya. So Annamayat Pindatmanaha. Annamayat Pindatmanaha Vyatiriktam Napashyati. See, there is Brahmandam. Andam literally means egg. We are talking about the andam. So that is why even when the people were thinking, scientists were talking about whether the world is flat or, you know, round, our ancients always used the term andam. It was never a flat world for us, in way for the Vedicas. Okay, that's already ever known fact. So here, Brahmandam is the whole universe, and every individual body, mansions, complex is what no Pindandam. Why it's called said to be Pindandam? Because Pindam is not outside of the Brahmandam. Pindam is not outside of the andam, the whole. Therefore, the individual body maintains complex said to be pindandam. And the whole is said to be brahmandam. So pindandam is never separate from the brahmandam, the entire andam. It's always one. There's no individual body, there cannot be individual prana, there cannot be individual mind, there cannot be an individual intellect, there cannot be individual sense power which can be by itself hanging around. Swamiji's example I give you, there can never be a wave hanging around by itself without the ocean being around. If there must be something called wave, there must be ocean around. Only then a wave can be there enjoying the status of being a wave. In the same way here, the individual can never be there by oneself without the corresponding total being there. A simple fact. So here it is said, this Brahma, Annamaya, Annamayat Pindatmanaha. So Pindatma here means the individual gross physical body. Pindatma here is an individual gross physical body. And what is now that is just Annamayaha. Annamayaha Pindatma. Annamayaha Pindatma. So gross physical body, which is a product, it's a modified form of food. I mean, the gross matter, food stands for gross matter. So, Annamayaha Pindatma, the gross physical body, which is modified from our food, is what? Annamayaha Pindatma. So, Annamayat Pindatmanaha, from this individual gross physical, from this physical body, which is the modified form of gross matter in terms of food, is Na Vyatiriktam Pashi, does not see from that, it does not see it separate, different. What does not see as separate here? Vishaya Jatam. Vishaya Jatam means the entire universe obtaining as an object of knowledge. The entire gross universe, the entire perceptible gross manifestation, gross universe. The entire gross universe obtaining as the object of knowledge. You want to Vishyajat, obtaining as the object. So Vishyajatam stands for the entire objective universe, especially gross manifestation. the gross universe, sthula prapanchaha. Samashti sthula prapanchaha is meant by the word visharjatam. Annamayaha pindatma is vyashti sthula shariram. So samashti visharjatam stands for samashti sthula prapanchaha. Annamayaha pindatma stands for vyashti sthula shariram. So he says, he does not see the objective physical world, the gross universe, to be different from his own physical body. What does it mean? His physical body is non-separate from the objective gross universe. So, sthula shariram is non-separate from sthula prapanchaha. Sthula prapanchaha is non-different from the sthula shariram, which means they are one. The whole gross universe, entirety of the gross manifestation, is inclusive of every individual gross body. There is no separation, difference at the grossest level. Also, and the whole gross universe, the entire gross manifestation, which is inclusive of every individual gross body, is looked upon as the manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, it is given the title of Ishvara as Virad Ishvaraha. There is no my body, there is only Virad Ishvara. Already, Mamakara is dropped. Mamakara is cognitively resolved. Where is my body? This body is what? This body is Virat, is one whole Ishvara. And this person, Jnani, sees this non-difference at the grossest level. But he says, Annamayat upasankram, Annamayam atmanam upasankramati implies the Jnani does not have identity with the gross physical body anymore, which means there is no dehatma buddhi. Dehe atma buddhi nasti jnaninaha. Even though he is endowed with the gross physical body, he has not given up the gross physical body. Nothing has been done physically, but cognitively, intellectually, this person has shifted his essence from the anatma body. He has given up the identity with the physical body. And he sees this physical body being non-different from, he sees the entire objective material universe, the gross universe, being non-separate from the physical body. He sees as one whole Virat. And not only that, he sees this entire gross manifestation being non-separate from one's own self. He sees himself as the abstract, formless reality, consciousness, existence, happiness. And seeing oneself as Brahma, and he sees this gross universe being non-separate from oneself. The mithya samashti sthula prapanchaha, the entire mithya gross universe being non-separate from oneself, he sees. The two things. First of all, he sees the gross universe being non-separate from one's own gross body. Then he sees the total gross manifestation being non-separate from oneself. Aham Brahma Asmi, Brahma Idam Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, therefore Aham Idam Sarvam. I, the Self, am. I, the Brahman, am the whole. This is what he says. This much is implied by this first sentence. annamayamatmanamupasankramati, which means vishyajatam annamayat pindatmanaha vyatiriktam na pashyati. I already sent this note on the group. You might have noticed it. Okay. Sarvam sthulabhutam annamayamatmanam pashyati. Sarvam sthulabhutam annamayamatmanam pashyati. Which means he sees the entirety of the sarvam sthulam. Sarvam sthulabhutam annamayamatmanam pashyati means he sees the entirety of the gross manifestation being non-separate from the Atma, one's own self. Okay. We'll go to the next. So, here what happens when a person sees the gross body being non-separate from the gross universe, the gross universe which being inclusive of one's own gross body, he's seeing the whole gross manifestation as Virat Ishvara, seeing Virat being non-separate from oneself as Brahma. Okay? This is what is said to be cognitive resolution of my sense. Understand? Cognitively resolving one's my sense. There's no second thing other than oneself. There must be second thing other than oneself for one to say, I am and this belongs to me. The entire gross universe has been resolved as one's own self. Be non-separate from oneself. Therefore, there's nothing to belong to. Nothing to be belonging to. Therefore, what now? That's why there's no sense, there cannot be any sense of possession. That's why in the wake of the clear vision of the absolute fact, it is impossible for one to have any sense of possession. Therefore, the mamakaraha becomes resolved for good. This is what is said to be mamakara tyagaha, mamakara nivrittihi. Happens in this manner. Then, tataha abhyantaram etam, tataha abhyantaram etam pranamayam sarvannamayatmastham avibhaktam. Then, not only at the physical level, then this wise person he sees this oneness at each level. Tataha abhyantaram, what is interior to that gross physical body is pranaha. What is it which is interior to the gross physical body? Pranaha. Therefore, etam, tataha abhyantaram etam pranamayam upasankramati, pranamayam atmanam upasankramati. He also goes beyond, he transcends, turns away from the pranamaya atma, which is interior to the gross physical body. Tataha abhyantaram etam pranamayam. What is pranamayam? He is explaining sarva annamaya atmastam, sarva annamaya atmastam avibhaktam pashyati. So going away, going beyond the pranamaya atma means cognitively dissociating oneself from the prana. So giving up the identification with the pranas. And how does he give the identification with the prana? He sees the vyashti pranaha sarva annamayatmastham. He sees the Vyashti individual prana being non-separate from Samashti pranaha, obtaining within the entirety of the gross world of gross beings, the physical bodies. Sarva annamayatmastham pranamayam avibhaktam pashyati. You have to apply the word pashyati. Avibhaktam pashyati means he sees prana also as the one which is avibhaktam, undivided, non-separate. Vyashti pranaha is non-separate from samashti pranaha. Samashti pranaha, where is it? Samashti, there's one samashti pranaha, which is inclusive of every individual prana, which obtains within the entirety of the world of physical bodies. That is sarva annamayatmastham. Annamaye stishtati iti. Annamayatmane tishtati iti annamayatmastham. Annamaye tishtati. Definitely there's a prana, the vital air, which obtains within the gross physical body. And this prana, obtained within the physical body, it is not separate from the corresponding total prana, which is revered as sutratma, which alone lends life. Therefore, sutratma. Samashti pranaha sutratma. One of the names of Hiranyagarbha is sutratma. It's a samashti prana. And samashti prana obtains within all the gross bodies. Sarva annamayatmastham avibhaktam pranamayam pashyati. And seeing this oneness of the prana, sutratma, is what now resolving the individuality at the prana level, in totality. See, Pujya Swamiji always loved this expression, resolving the individuality in its corresponding totality. This is how Ishvara being the order also can be appreciated. Okay. Ishvara is in the form of universal, natural, moral law and order. When we say Ishvara is in the form of the order, that has to be appreciated as well. See, that's why there's no separation of anything here. Everything is only the whole here. So the prana level also, there is non-separateness. There is Ishvara, Hiranyagarbheshvara, Sutratma. And he sees the samashti pranaha. He sees the vyashti prana being non-separate from samashti prana sutratma. And he sees the samashti prana being non-separate from the self brahmatma, which is one's own essential nature. He sees samashti prana being non-separate from oneself. Aham idam sarvam. At the next level. This is how simultaneous mamakara is resolved, then ahankara also becomes thinner. And then atha, in the same way, at each level, the person sees the oneness, non-separateness. Person sees the non-separateness. See, the whole effort of studying the Upanishad Shastram is for understanding the absolute non-difference, divisionlessness. Atha etam manomayam vijnanamayam anandamayam atmanam upasankramati. Bhagavad Pada does not want to take much time in making us understand who he is. This jnani, he sees the individual mind being non-separate from total mind. Vyashti Samashti Manaha is not separate from Samashti Manaha Hiranyagarbha. He says Vyashti Vijnanamayam being not separate from Samashti Vijnanamayam. Samashti Vijnanam, which is Hiranyagarbha. He says Vyashti Anandamaya being not separate from Samashti. Corresponding total. Which means, in the same way, he says, at each level, he sees the non-difference. He sees the non-separateness. And he sees the whole mithya material, the entire sukshma shariram, mind, intellect, pranas, all of them being non-separate from the entire sukshma shariram being non-separate from its corresponding sukshma prapanchaha. Total. So Vyashti Sukshma Shariram being non-separate from Samashti Sukshma Prapanchaha, the person sees. There is no division, there is no difference. This is how when the person shifts his identity from Sukshma Shariram, subtle aspects. He shifts his identity from mind, the pranas, mind, and the intellect. When he shifts identity from all of them, what happens? Even ahankara becomes resolved. Cognitively resolving one's I sense is nothing but seeing one's own subtle body being non-separate from the corresponding subtle universe, and thereby seeing the entire subtle universe being non-separate from oneself, and seeing oneself as the whole. In seeing oneself as the whole, Hiranyagarbha is what now? Ahankara also becomes resolved. There's no more ahankaraha, there's no more mamakaraha. So mamakara tyaga, mamakara nasha happens when the person shifts his identity from his sthula sharidam and resolves it in his corresponding total and sees the whole total gross manifestation as one's own, not being non-separate from oneself, mamakara becomes dissolved. In the same way, when the person sees the all subtle aspects which conscious subtle body being non-separate from samashti, corresponding total gross subtle universe, subtle manifestation, and he sees the entire subtle manifestation being non-separate from oneself, there is resolution of total, absolute resolution of aham, I sense. Why? The wrong notion of the I sense is completely resolved. It means I sense has been shifted from the sukshma. And then it is resolvable where? It has been placed somewhere. There's no more ajnanam. Ajnanam has been resolved. Therefore, I sense cannot be placed anywhere other than the consciousness. The person rediscovering the truth of I being the pure abstract consciousness existence. Satchidatma, Satchidananda Atma, Satyam Anantam Brahma. See, Aham Brahma Asmi, this jnanam is what? Cognitively resolving one's I sense in one's own sarupam. Like saying wave is water. There's no other content of the wave. There's no other substance of the substantive I other than this Brahmatma. This is what is said to be Ahankara Nasha. This is how the erroneous notion one has about oneself becomes resolved for good. Absolutely. Okay. The way he says, Atha Yenam Atha Etam Manomayam Vijnanamayam Anandamayam Atmanam Upasankramati. So, seeing So giving up the identification with all material aspects which constitute the subtle body and gross body, having resolved the ignorance also, and seeing oneself, one's own essential nature being Brahmatma, is the actual meaning of the word upasankramanam. We should not take the literal dictionary meaning of the word upasankramanam as moving, going towards, reaching, attaining, etc. It's a cognitive transcendence, cognitively transcending is the meaning. Then when a person shifts the identity from anatma, the gross physical body and subtle aspects, and seeing everything as oneself, everything be non-separate from oneself, means what? Where does the person abide then? Abiding in Brahman, abiding in one's own self, self-abidance means seeing the meaning of the word I being nothing other than the abstract, formless consciousness, existence, fullness of happiness. And what is the consciousness, existence, Brahmatma, implied by the term Atma or Brahman, which is imperceptible? We already understood very well, imperceptible, adrishyam, adrishyaha Brahmatma, imperceptible, anatmyaha Brahmatma. Brahmatma is free from the form, free from body, free from subtle body, free from gross body. Anatmyam, anatmyaha Brahmatma, aniruptaha Brahmatma. Brahmatma being the very truth of everything, truth of the very word also, it is inexplicable and non-definable, aniruptam, okay, non-categorized, it is something cannot be categorized, cannot be defined categorically, therefore aniruptaha, anilayanaha, anat, anilayanaha, means what? Brahmatma is the nilayanam. Nilayanam means what? That which lends existence is nilayanam. That which lends support, that the unmoving, firm, stable support for everything that exists is nilayanam. Brahmatma being the nilayanam, Brahman being the nilayanam, adhishthanam, support for everything, Brahman has no support of itself. Therefore, anilenai, anilayanaha, Brahmatma. So, Brahma, when you say, adrishyam Brahma, anatmyam Brahma, aniruptam Brahma, anilayanam Brahma. Okay? And in this, in Brahmatma, which is of this nature, in this imperceptible reality, which is devoid of all upadhis, all forms, and which is non-definable, which is supportless, abstract, formless consciousness, existence, which is the edge of limitlessness, infinitude, in that Brahman, this person, pratishtham vindate, he attains abidance. He abides in one's own self, then abhayam vindate, pratishtham vindate, abhayam, he discovers fearlessness as the very nature. This person attains fearlessness. How? Because absolutely there is no second thing other than Brahmatma. Why? What about the Jagat, the matter in the form of the world? Of course, Atma implies Brahman, or Atma implies abstract, formless, reality which lends existence to everything, which is of the consciousness and which is of the infinitude, limitlessness. What about this material world, matter? Already we said the whole material, whole of the material universe, subtle and gross, manifest and unmanifested, being non-separate from oneself. This is, which is non-separate. Why? It has no independent existence at all outside of oneself. Being non-separate from oneself, it is not a second thing. It has no independent existence. Second thing is not there. It is not accountable as a second thing. Being non-separate from oneself. Of course, Atma is distinct from this material world, but not distant. This is very important. Distinct, but not distant. Therefore, the world being non-separate from oneself is not a second thing other than the self. Therefore, it is Brahman is ekam and advitiyam, secondless, and also not two. Atma and Jagat, consciousness and matter, are not two, because material world, which is reducible to one word, matter, is non-separate from, non-different, non-separate from consciousness. Therefore, it is not two. Ekam, advitiyam, advaitam. So, ekasmin, advaite, advitiye, adrushye, anatme, anirukte, anilayane. Abhayam vindate. Abhayam pratishtham vindate. The person remains as Brahman and discovers fearlessness as one's own Swarupam. Second thing is not there, which can do any harm, which can cause anything. Second thing must be there, other than oneself, which can be a source of fear. Second thing itself is not there. Second thing is not there means there cannot be ahankara, there cannot be mamakara also. Only what is this? Only Brahma. Ahamidam sarvam means I self am the whole. In this vision, there's a right. There's no I sense, wrong, there's no erroneous notion about the self. No ahankara. There is no sense of possession possible, because second thing is not there to be possessed. There is no mamakara. This is how the person discovers fearlessness, having resolved the strong mamakara and ahankara. Now, Bhagavad-pada just takes an upaksamkramanam alone. See, now we have understood exactly what we need to understand by understanding this as a meaning of the upasankramana shrutihi. Okay? We have thoroughly understood what is conveyed by the upasankramana shruti. But still, upasankramana shrutihi is taken for enquiry analysis. So, tatra etachintyam. Look at this now. Tatra etachintyam. Okay, we will continue tomorrow. We'll take this for tomorrow. One more thing I want to say before I conclude. Now, the vision of a jnani, absolute, relatively, he sees the duality. See, the perception of duality cannot be given up, cannot be denied. It is there. In spite of perceiving the world of duality, still jnani revels in the vision of non-duality of the reality. That is why there's nothing which is not the self. Therefore, Jnani is said to be, said to have fulfilled all his desires, as it were. All his desires become fulfilled, as it were. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.